As a young child, when going on road trips with my parents, I was often encouraged to fall asleep. The theory, at least told to me by my mom, was that by falling asleep, we would arrive quicker to our destination, which proved to be true. The hindsight I gained as an adult, it was probably to save my poor sisters, who were crammed in the back seat with me to not be harassed, as I tested how many times I could cross the invisible line that they had drawn. However, I have now been programmed on long trips to crave rest. When it's not my turn to drive, or when the scenery is something I've seen before, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. The reflection from this is how disoriented can be to awaken from rest on our travels and having to refamiliarize ourselves or reorient ourselves where we might be on our journey. Looking for the familiar landmark or the city, using the available resources to help reassure ourselves that we're not lost, or that our spouse has not taken some detour that we're not familiar with. Throughout this green growing season of summer, maybe into fall, or when God shifts my focus somewhere else in our lessons, or until that time where I'm currently finding many parallels and lessons to share with you, I'm looking at this book called A Field Guide Through the Wilderness by Sarah Bessie. And I'm enjoying that book because it's offering many lessons. And I'm gleaning bits and just little life lessons that I'm enjoying sharing with you. So for today's lesson, I'm using a broader view and pulling back in the lens. In the last couple Sundays, we've been focusing in the wilderness. And so this Sunday, I want to pull us back to have a broader view on the outside of the wilderness, looking at those individuals and communities that might find themselves awakened and disoriented because the view is unlike any they have experienced, or maybe it seems vaguely similar, but it isn't quite right. And the invitation by God into the wilderness is one of love and unity. The love you will see and the unity experienced will look different than that you've understood while entering in. And the lesson we pull from the ancient guides is once more from the believers in the city of Ephesus, as they work on who they are, where they have come from, and where they're going as a unified body. And they're being challenged as they continue to be threaded together and working to be humble and gentle, be patient with one another, and making allowances for each other's faults. Where they've come from is reminding themselves of their humanness and giving grace to those who make mistakes. Who they are is beloved children of God, united in spirit, being bound up together in grace that has been freely given to all. They will continue to be adopted children of God because Christ and through the free gift of baptism that they have been able to participate in. We continue to hear one body, one spirit, which they are being formed into. Thus, they have the glorious hope for the future of where they will be going. The one body, which is the church, and Christ is the head. Within the body, they are being knitted and bonded together through shared commonalities, stories, and life experiences, something that we are familiar with. And this results in a healthier and strengthened foundation, opposite of being tossed and blown about by every wind nor lies so clever that they sound like the truth. As one body in Christian unity with love, we have been called into the body with Christ, which is the church, to serve as parts of the church. I would add, we are not all called to have the same gifts. For there are many parts that make up a healthy physical body to function properly, thus the same for the church body, with all parts working in tandem with each other. When we speak in truth, in love, with grace and kindness, we grow more and more like Christ. In our meandering and healing journey, we should try and open ourselves up to God's love for us. God, who is seen as our loving parent, if we haven't had that example before. Or it can add to our example because of that unconditional love of a parent and the grace given and shown to us always. Once God, who is a parent for everyone, Christ as our peace for those once irreconcilable groups, we can start to maintain unity. Growth depends on each part of the body working properly. If there's friction within the joints or the ligaments or the stiffness in our necks, it will not allow the body to function properly, and healing within needs to happen. If one part starts to fail the function, growth is stunted. Trust and love are symbiotic. And it may be hard to hear, but however I will be saying this, Christians are neither to thrive on conflict nor avoid it when it reveals difficult truths. Each time it is handled properly, love expands, unity deepens, and growth happens. Which leads us back to our sojourning through the wilderness, and God's invitation to love and unity that go hand in hand, with the rest offered there when we accept God's calling. The wilderness is home to God, even the wilderness that lingers inside of us. And our bodies are already places where God is quite at home. So my offering to you is, do not be afraid to enter. Some of you have already been traveling for a long while now, while others have just entered, and all of us are in need of rest. We have legendary wayfarers who have led many of God's people before us. Find some shade, close your eyes, and rest assured we are being fed and nourished in our wandering, and enjoy the companionship of God. Amen.